Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I have my friend Alexis who's joining us. I am going to let her introduce herself because all I know her as is like the KPI queen, the systems queen. She's going to really help you understand why your business needs to be automated and systematized. We met in a mastermind that we're both a part of. And so I wanted to bring her on and just really be like, girl, tell these people what they need to hear about their business and why they need to be the one that doesn't do everything. They need to learn how to delegate so that they can really step into that CEO role. So, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. I like to say that I help everyone scale their business while removing the founder from the day-to-day. Like, I help you have a business that you actually get to enjoy, you get to have fun, you don't feel like you built yourself your own personal prison. Because sometimes it is that way.
Yeah, so that is just huge. Like, right, for us, a lot of my audience is brick and mortar service-based businesses. For us, like, we just kind of build these four walls around us and we operate out of them and then we never leave them except to sleep and spend time with our families on the weekends. But really Monday through Friday, we're usually in them, sometimes Saturday as well. So yeah, let's chat a little bit about that. So I know we were talking before we started recording kind of, because you work mainly with online businesses, but one of your first clients was actually a brick and mortar. So tell us a little bit about what that process looked like.
I'm so thankful for them because they ran a bakery up in Alaska and it was like a Hawaiian bakery. And they were working like, gosh, anywhere from 60 to 100 hours a week. They were constantly baking things, making the marketing, doing this, just everything. And they really wanted to get out of the bakery. They wanted to live in Arizona and they wanted to have franchises, but they just could not figure out how in the world to get out. And so we ended up working together for almost a year and we completely staffed up their bakery, created all of their playbooks, removed them. And now they actually, I just talked to them this week, they actually are living in Arizona now and they have 20 franchises in the US.
Oh my God. That's amazing. First of all, that's incredible. Yeah. And I think too, for some people, they're like, what's a playbook? So expand on that.
Good call. So basically it was actually a big, I guess, stretch for me because like you said, I've always really worked with online businesses. So it was easy. I was like, oh, just record a loom. But a bakery was literally like, we needed to show exactly how to do each recipe. So at first we just used iPhones. Eventually they brought in like a videographer to come in and just wrote out the recipes and they recorded them exactly how it works for all of their different donuts that they do when they have special offers and everything. And we took that and turned those into an online course video training and as well as they had it in a Google Doc. So it was like, it's literally just recording yourself doing it exactly how you want someone to do it. And now you have training.
Yeah, I love that. Because I tell my clients too, anytime they're bringing on a new employee, like really record everything that you possibly can inside of Loom, have it be in a Google Doc, like watch this first, this second, this third. If you really wanted to, sure, there's some aspects of our business that is like that customer service that you need to really teach somebody and have them mimic it and mirror it with you and like practice it, rehearse it. But a lot of the stuff done like through our software, our EHRs or our CRMs, whatever it is, can literally be a training library of stuff that they could just watch on their own. Because a lot of my clients that have busier practices, their office manager might not have time to sit down and be like, okay, click this button and add this new patient. Honestly, even if they did, it's not the best use of their time. It's like, maybe we should come up with a better way of doing this.
Yeah. And honestly, it saved so much time when we were ready to franchise because we already had exactly like, hey, if I wanted to sell this, this is how you do it. So then we just bolted on some additional like client experience things, but it allowed them to really scale. And it's so simple. I mean, literally just have someone record you with an iPhone.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I know one of the other things that you do, so systems, like what are some other systems that you think maybe as you've worked with other clients in the online space, sure, but what are systems that they just don't have in place or documented?
Most people have very little documented.
It's all in their head.
It's like all in their head. And then they're like, why are my team asking me a million questions, right? So I like to say the best place to start is to build a system skeleton. So I like to say that operations, sales and marketing is the blood. You have to have it. You have to make sure that, you know, you have blood pumping to operate. Operations is the skeleton. So the skeleton allows you to actually go from like a limp blood bag to a crawling being that ends up being able to run. And that's how you scale, is when you can build out the skeleton. So I like to like literally map out, it legitimately looks like a skeleton, where it starts with the marketing of like, what's your traffic, what's your engagement, like, you know, how are you getting emails onto a list, whatever. Then it goes into the actual sales process, and then the fulfillment and retention. So like I have, there's a service provider I go to, and I've been bothering him to create his skeleton and actually build out his retention, because he didn't keep track of how many visits I had done. And so I went over like 2 months. I know. I went over like 2 months, and I was like, see, if we had a CRM or if we had a plan of how we were tracking, we would make sure. And if you had like an assistant tracking it, it'd be even better. So
totally.
I think it's like just being able to see from A to Z, where do you get your clients? And then where are they going to be when they either wrap up, or is there a retention offer at play?
Mm-hmm. And also like, what is your team or your staff doing through that whole process as your patient is going through like a care plan, or as they're following your recommendations? What is happening at visit 17? What is happening at visit 22? What is happening at a re-exam? Like, as long as you have all of that documented, you could not be there. You could hire another doctor. Somebody comes in and they're able to work through that whole process. That was something that I had to go through when I was looking at bringing on my first associate doctor, is I was like, wow. Me and my office manager, we knew the system. We had been working together for a year. We worked together like so well. And we were like, this is great. And then I was like, cool, I have to teach another doctor this whole process for the office. How am I going to do that? Even so much so as like scripting my communication. Even now,
yes.
I want us to have our own unique flair on it, right? Like we all have different personalities. We're all a little bit different. So how can we bring that in, but also having a scripting system that we know just works? And for me, it was a really big undertaking, heavy lifting to get some of that documented. And I can 100% say that not all of it's even documented. Yeah. So I could do better about that too. But I know for certain, once I get on calls with other practitioners, they're like, yeah, I want to grow my team. I'm starting to get burnout. I need out of doing everything. And kind of how you mentioned earlier, like they are wearing all the hats. They're doing the marketing. They're doing the scheduling. They're doing the social media posting. They're doing the emails. They're taking care of the patient. They're scheduling the patient. They're going over financials with the patient. And it's like, it's really hard for you to stop doing all of that to train somebody else. So even if they don't have team, they can start working on getting some of these things recorded from their end, so it's easier to streamline an employee when they bring them on.
Yeah, I think sometimes we forget the power of bandwidth. Like we only have so much bandwidth as human beings in general, but especially someone that's wearing so many hats, doing so many things, especially if you have, you know, a family, like you mentioned, where you're just, mm-hmm. there's a lot going on. And it's kind of like how Steve Jobs wore the same thing every day, right? What can you do to actually take the bandwidth and make it powerful? And it's not just for you. Like you said, when you have a team, this makes it easier, but it's also taking away the mental load for clients. That example that I shared, I had to keep being like, what visit am I on? Should I have been keeping track of this and asking questions? Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's a seamless experience where you're like, hey, you're on visit this is what you should be experiencing by this point. Do you have any questions? On the next visit, we're going to do this. I'm like, heck yes, hold me forever. So,
just tell me what I need to do. I just did another podcast earlier with one of my colleagues who does some sales training for Kairos, and she said, like, tell them what to expect at each time so that they can take the guesswork out of it, right? Because confused buyers don't buy, number one. So if they don't know what the expectations are or like the solution to their problem, then they're not going to give you money. But just like you're saying, from a patient perspective, you want to be held and nurtured and told what to expect 20, 30, 40, 100 visits in, so that there's that level of, one, comprehension, but two, that level of expectation that you know, like, okay, I don't have to really think about it.
Yeah. I think there's also, just to riff on the systems part of it, I do something called the assembly line, and it's originally from Henry Ford from the Industrial Revolution, the industrialization, not revolution. But, you know, it was revolutionary. But he was obviously the creator of Ford, and it used to take over 12 hours to create a Model T, the cars. And he realized that he needed to make them more affordable and he needed to make them more often. And so within a few years, he built out this assembly line approach, also did like the $5 workday. He created what we currently have as the 9-to-5, and he took it from 12 hours to less than 90 seconds. So production was up, labor was down, and quality was the same. So I've obviously nerded out pretty hard on that and turned it into a way to basically take the most bespoke of services and make it scalable. Really, the best way to do that to start, if you're listening to this and you want to just get it done, is to figure out, lay out everything you do and how could you put that into 3-to-5 phases. And then what are each steps in those phases? And you're able to track the, say, client experience and also just how much you can manage. But also, let's say you want to hire someone and you're nervous about letting go, because a lot of times we're very nervous to hire another specialist. You can actually choose which parts of the phases you'd be like, okay, these visits could go to that new person, and then every fifth visit could be with me. And you can find ways to slowly let go and test out people rather than just throwing them in.
I love that you're putting words to something that I already do, but I didn't even think about it as using phases. Because I like to use the example, like, I always worked in the service industry growing up. So like, I literally started as a dishwasher at 14. I don't even know if that's legal in today's day and age, but like, dishwasher. Yeah. And then I got really good at that, and I could go to cook. And then once I mastered that, I could go to host, then server, then bartender. Like, bartender was like the end all be all, because that's where you made the most money, right? And yep. So until I had mastered every position within the restaurant, I didn't get promoted to bartender. And so I love to have my clients do that with the associates that they bring on. It's like, they need to master how to work the schedule. Sure, we want them to see patients, but like, if they can't help and jump in when your staff needs it, or the phone's ringing off the hook, if they can't walk through a phone call, then they're less valuable to you than an employee or a team member who understands every process that you have and can step into any position. And I even have with one of my clients who just brought on an associate, we're having her just train on, there's a scanning technique that some offices do called CLA scanning. So she's mastered that. Great. Now she can move on to other aspects. Before she actually gets to seeing patients or taking a patient through a day one, day two process we have, she's working on these other things and adjustments and communication and like some of the back end stuff. And that's also a way that you can really put your team members, especially other doctors or practitioners, through a process of letting them like prove themselves, but also get confidence during that whole process. Yes. Because for a lot of people, the day they graduate, they don't have confidence to just be a doctor, right? Like, it takes a lot of at-bats. And so they have to go and learn all of these other different things in order to get to that point to where they feel like they could take a patient from start to finish, kind of like you're saying. And I think there's amazing KPIs that could be set up around that in order to be like, hey, you've really mastered this. Let's move on to phase two now. But I love that you put it in phases, because I think that that's easier for people to understand.
Yeah, I mean, I think our core job as really entrepreneurs and business owners is, I heard it's the two R's, it's recruit and replace. So you need to recruit someone to replace yourself at every level. And so if you can lay out like, hey, these are the phases, I would be okay with first letting go of this and training someone on that. You've made it really clear. You can even say what success looks like when it's done correctly and create your own KPIs for it. And then you can be like, great, once that person is fully owning that, I've ascended to this. And now they need to replace me here. And it's basically like a staircase approach.
I love that. And my goal with clients, most of them when they come to me, so I help a small group of clients, like really just start from you know, wherever they're at, but really getting them to consistent 30K months. That's our Wealthy Practitioner Accelerator. And then inside of our mastermind, it's exactly what you're saying. It's like taking the owner operator and removing them from operations and transitioning them to a true CEO to where they could be an entrepreneur. They can focus on really growing this business. They can focus on growing other businesses. But so often, number one, there's mindset issues that come up when they're trying to remove themselves. Like we have an identity associated with this job, right? Like I am not willing to let go of this because it would mean my identity gets disrupted. And I'm sure you find the same thing.
So much. Like I've actually had to do intensive nervous system work myself to work
after
this
that.
Because yes, it's a huge deal. And like oftentimes with clients, I'll actually train up their operator, like the person that's going to become their director of operations or even their COO. And oftentimes what can happen is when it starts going really well, they can contract because it's like, well, if they're running the entire business, then what's the point? Like what's
the point of me? Yeah, yes. I'm not needed anymore. And I don't think people realize how much they enjoy being needed. It fills an aspect of them. And so it's like, if you're not needed with your patients and now your team doesn't need you, they really don't know what to do with themselves. And I mean, honestly, for me, I was like, cool, I'm just going to go start more businesses that cash flow to work on my wealth building, right? But there was aspects, you know, too, like ego is such a big thing and it gets so involved, I think, with entrepreneurs or founders where they're like, oh, well, I'm the best at this and I'm the one that should do this. And it's like, you could, but is that what's going to be the best thing for the company as a whole? And often the answer is like, if they can do it 80, 90% as good as you, then great, let's move on so that you can tackle something else that only your unique IP can handle.
Right. Well, it's kind of like what we were talking about with that ascension, the ascension pathway. It's like your hours should be worth more and more, both in terms of money, but also like when you free up your time, you're able to reinvest into growth. You're able to reinvest, whether it's into business or your personal life, your family. And I don't know about you or your audience, but I feel like most of us honestly started businesses to have some level of freedom, to have some level of financial time, just energetic freedom to kind of do what we want. And a lot of times we do the opposite to stay safe. When it wasn't safe to start your business. In fact, you had to take a huge risk every day. Every day you woke up and said, I'm still going to do this. And so it's like you're already used to not being in your comfort zone. Keep going.
Absolutely. And I love that. That's such a good point, Alexis. I also love that this idea of our comfort zone is not going to get us to the next level. And so I want to be here to disrupt your comfort zone, right? Yes. Like if you're comfortable, you're not growing. If you're comfortable, it gets me so fired up. I could literally go on an hour tangent about this, but like there is no aspect of me that ever wants to be comfortable. We both started a podcast this year. Like it wasn't comfortable to do that, right?
It's
like
terrifying.
Right? It wasn't comfortable. Like you were out there, you were talking about everything. You're so vulnerable. And it's like, cool. But guess what? It expanded me in ways that I didn't even anticipate. And in ways that I didn't know I needed, right? It made me more confident in certain aspects. It also made me more confident to even talk to my patients. And so it's like, what are we doing that is keeping us comfortable? But if we just stepped outside of our comfort zone 1% a day, like your reality is going to be so different. But again, like you said, it's that fear that holds people back. But there's nothing about owning a business that is easy or like super reassuring. Like every day something can go wrong, right? So like, why not just anticipate it and move through it anyways?
Yeah. Oh, I'm literally writing down like, I'm going to disrupt your comfort zone. I put it on a sticky note. It was so good.
Damn, that needs to go on my social media marketing. I want to disrupt your comfort zone.
I mean, it's so true though. It's so true.
One aspect that I wanted you to touch on a little bit here is kind of the hiring process, because I know that you help a lot of people find the right fits for their company. So maybe you could share with my audience just a couple of things that you like about the interview process or things that you're looking for and maybe that sort of thing.
Yeah. I love hiring. I actually just went through it this week for someone in my business, like bringing on someone new. And I think I do it in a bit of a different approach than most. So take anything I say with a grain of salt. But I try to interview the least amount of people possible. So mm-hmm. I try to really, we get a lot of candidates and I usually take them through 3 rounds before they're going to get to an interview. Because like we said earlier, our time is really important and so is theirs, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So I typically have a very, 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 it tells everything in the job description. Like, this is what I expect. I want it to make people get mad at me. It happens every time where they're like, this seems crazy. And I'm like, you're not the right fit. Like, it's great. Yep. The application is pretty thorough. Then I usually have them do some type of, I call them like use cases. So I'm not sure 100% how that would work in terms of service providing, but sometimes that's like doing just a Loom video of answering some questions. And so I'll mm-hmm. do like a pre-interview, get their energy, get their experience, and then do an interview. And I keep my interviews really short, like anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes. And by then, I should know everything about them. It's just asking maybe a couple of more questions to really see them energetically.
I love that. So you're speaking my language. I go through a 3-part interview series. We usually start with a quick phone interview, in-person interview, then a working interview. I haven't done the like best use, whatever you called it. But what I know, I don't know what the correct term is, but I do know that sometimes I've had clients be like, hey, if they need somebody super techie for their office or somebody who's just going to help with social media, it's like, record a short video and then email it to me and tell me X, Y, and Z. And then it's like, okay, if they can figure out how to do that, they're going to be able to figure out other stuff. But you'd be surprised at how many people can't do that, right? Especially if they don't have a background in using a lot of that stuff. And so that's usually a good disqualifier so that you can interview less people. I very much only make it to an in-person interview for 2 people, and I'm usually deciding between the two. So yeah, very, very in alignment with that as well. I think too that I would be curious what you said about this, because in service-based businesses, it is very difficult to hire right now. Difficult from the aspect of like people want to be paid $500 million and work from home half of the time. And also in that want insurance, 401k, and like all these crazy things, right? And so for a lot of my clients, it's been difficult for them to find really great fits for their office right now. Are you having clients that are experiencing that as well?
No. Yes and no. So I'm going to be slightly controversial in my response here.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, this is a problem, I would say, across the board, because people are, inflation's pretty bad. People really want to make a lot more and they want to live the life they want, which is great. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, 2024 is going to be really, really, really interesting because a lot of layoffs are happening across the board everywhere. Mm-hmm. People are, what I'm sensing from the recruiting that I've been doing recently is like people really want stability. And this something similar happened in the 70s where we kind of had like a certain type of crash that made it that people were like, okay, I'll take anything. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean we're going to feel a...
I agree with you. I think it's going to flip a little bit because it kind of happened in 2020 when there was so many layoffs too. Like there was a really great opportunity to honestly hire qualified people for a lesser rate that just were like, I need something, right? Maybe they came from these like huge layoffs that these bigger corporations did. So I do feel that. I feel like there's that pendulum swinging back to where things are going to even out a little bit. And if you're ready to make a really great hire and investment for your business, I do think there's going to be opportunity for that.
I will say the other trend in hiring that has really shifted is people really, really, really want to work for a company that has amazing core values, that has a mission, that is very clear on their vision. Like it is insane the difference. If you just make a post about the position, great. But if you make a, if you even just add one sentence, I always do this of like, you're the perfect fit if you understand whatever outcome we create in the world. And that gets so many more qualified candidates. It's wild.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. It's such a good tip for others. In closing here, what would you say that if a business owner wanted to go from, let's just say $100,000 a year to $1 million a year, what is like one or two things that you would advise them to do?
I think the first thing would be to get very, very clear on where they're spending their time It's so mm-hmm. easy to just think we have to push more, but to 10x from 100K to a million is, it's just going to be a different experience. Mm-hmm. So to get very, very clear on where they're spending their time, it's hard. Like one or two things is hard. I think I could go for three and I'll call it down. So one would be where you're spending your time. Like, where do you want to invest it? Two would be depending on how much like cash flow you have. Like I know you're saying 100K a year, but if you can hire someone that's going to take you out of the weeds as fast as possible, that's what I would probably do. So that way you can again reinvest your time, and a coach that does mindset work. I think
that's
the biggest thing, because honestly, looking back, every time I've made any type of leap or changed my life, it hasn't been anything tactical. It hasn't been hiring. It hasn't been any of that. It's always been like, I think I'm going to die, but that's because I'm covered in fear. And I just need someone to be like, do it. This is silly. You already should have done this because you're incredible and you don't see it yet. Like find mm-hmm. a mentor that sees your future self and is just waiting for you to catch up.
Oh, I love that. Oh, so good. I feel like we could end there. I absolutely love it. And that is one of the things that I love the most to work on, because that's when the transformation happens. Like I had a client just go, literally hired me because she could not pass 25K a month. And by less than 60 days of us working together, she was crushing a 50K month, like yes. on the heels of 50K. And it's like, do you know that her life is forever changed because of that? And I'm not even like trying to take credit for it. Like she did the work, she facilitated it, but it was because she had also a mentor that was like, you can do this. You're already doing it. Here's what you're doing. Great. Make this second or third, you know, one or two tweaks. And that's absolutely going to change the game for you. And I think it's amazing that you said that, because yes, so often that's what we're looking for, is somebody to just say, hey, you're doing a great job. You're actually really crushing it. And if you continue to show up this way, you're ultimately going to get what it is that you're after. So I love that. Thank you so much for joining us. This was great. I know they're going to have plenty of things that they can go and implement. If they want to connect with you more, where can they find you?
The best place is just going to be Alexis Bartok on Facebook, or if you're on Instagram, it's process the number 2 profit.
Cool. Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.